Think back for a moment to whenever you first started playing video games. Were you really young and somebody thrust the controller into your hand and you started pushing buttons not really knowing what you were doing? Or were you older and knew what you wanted? Odds are, your first video game system came from your mother. And today, on the Fangamer Podcast, episode number 157, we're going to be talking with our mothers about what they were thinking whenever they first put that controller into our hands. I'm joined today with Jeff Benson.
Hello.
And Heidi Mandolin. And Ben Kerrigan. And I am Charlie Burton. And we're going to start off this podcast by talking to my own mom, who is a very loud and opinionated woman, who's very active and very excitable. In many ways, she's a very different person than I am, which makes me kind of wonder why she got me a video game system in the first place.
Hello?
Hey, Mom.
Hey.
What were you thinking when you first bought a Nintendo for me?
Entertainment?
Is that it? You were just...
Well, when we first got married, me and your dad, we had an Atari. And it was just, I guess, fun doing something together, I guess. Mostly when it was raining or something.
So you and dad would play video games yourselves?
Right, before? We played Atari. Like, I think it was Mario and the Hamburger, I think it was, we played a lot.
Was that Burger Time?
Yeah, that's it.
So, yeah, because I remember whenever we had the Nintendo, that occasionally, whenever we'd go off and rent games, sometimes you and Dad would rent something like Tetris or something and play it too. And then over time,
that was
I guess
a long time ago.
Yeah, over time, I just kind of stopped playing it so much, either because maybe I was just hogging it, and so you guys just lost interest, or maybe I just weren't all that interested, or just got too busy to spend time with
probably
it.
Probably got too busy. I couldn't tell you the last time I played one, so I haven't played a game, been probably 20 years plus.
So, at what point did you start to suspect that games would be a big part of my life beyond childhood?
When did I think that it would be a big part of your life? I always did, I believe.
Like, from the first time you got the game, you figured that you're introducing this to me, and you know that this is going to keep
be your interest, yes.
Hmm.
You, yes. And then when the computer came out, you didn't play as much either. When we started having home computers, it was mostly, like, stuff on the computer that you did, right?
Yeah, that's still kind of the case. I mean, you can play games on the computer.
Right.
It was just another avenue to get to it, I guess. Something I felt like I had a little bit more control over. I mean, even now, like, I do have a few systems over in the living room, but most of the time I'm in here on my computer, and if I play games, it's something I'll just tab over to where I can still be at my computer. It's a lot easier that way sometimes, but...
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting that you kind of saw that happening, too. Like, I was never sure how much you were really perceiving of what your kids were getting into. I assume that, like, a good bit, but I know that all, at least for me, I like to, you know, hide out in my room, so there wasn't a whole lot that you were directly seeing of what I was getting involved with.
Exactly. I didn't really know.
So was there ever a time you were worried about me since I played games so much?
Well, not really, because you said that you wanted to make them. You were coming up with different things to make a game, right? You were taking notes and making... You had a notebook you were writing stuff in to come up with a game, right? And you wanted to work for the industry.
You saw this as me immersing myself in my future career.
That's what I thought you were going to do was... I can't think of the word. Invent games.
You develop them.
Develop them. That's a good one. That's a good word. I just thought of the word I wanted. Design a game.
Yeah, there's a good one. So you figured I was going to hopefully grow up to be a game designer with all this time I was spending.
I mean, all you talked about was going to Florida and somewhere else to work at one of the companies, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember exactly where I wanted to go, but I did know that I wanted to get involved and then...
I remember Florida. It was somewhere in Florida, and then you talked about another place, and I'm not sure if it was Washington or somewhere up there.
Yeah, it's probably
Digipen.
New
York. Well, I mean, it's entertaining, like, for people, like, the kids to get together, and, I mean, a while back, I don't know what Eddie and them were playing, but, I mean, you can hear them hollering, and, I mean, it was like they got together and played.
It almost sounds like whenever you and your friends get together and watch a football game.
Or play cards.
Yeah, you just...
It's just something entertaining to do, you know, get your mind occupied instead of getting with the wrong crowd or whatever, you know?
What do you think of games now? Like, the industry as a whole and the effect it has on kids and adults today.
What I think about games now?
Yeah.
I really don't know much about them, Charlie, actually.
Well, you're aware that they are, like, a much bigger industry now than they were whenever you first got me into them.
And they're not G-rated as much anymore, either.
Yeah. Yeah, Nintendo definitely had a reputation of making sure that whatever games came out were appropriate for kids to be playing, and they still do, oftentimes.
Yeah. But of course, you know, y'all older now, and you want something a little bit more interesting, so a lot of the games that they're buying have an M for mature.
Yeah.
Like, which that one?
Grand Theft Auto?
Yeah, that. I mean, I watched him play it a little bit while they were in the living room, but I don't let him go in the living room much anymore with it because I'll never get the TV. I'd never get on it. They'd be on it all night long, you know? So.
Well, do you think games helped me in any way? I mean, I know in the end, I didn't go to college for games as much as I was planning to do so whenever I was younger. By the time I got into high school, I knew that it was either going to be art or... something, and then whenever I got into college, it was I went in for journalism, which is basically what I'm doing right now. But do you think that by letting me play games whenever I was a kid, do you think it helped me grow in any way?
I guess it's good for hand coordination, huh?
Yeah, I suppose so.
It helps you think about it. I mean, if you don't do it right, you're gonna lose.
It's true.
I know how excited y'all were when y'all beat the game. I pretty much trusted your judgment, Charlie. I mean...
Certainly a running theme in my childhood, I think, of you letting me make my own decisions about a lot of things. And
Oh, yeah. One thing I looked at it was y'all did well in school. I found y'all made good judgment. I mean, I think I'd have found out if you didn't.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess... last question I'd say is, what advice would you give to another parent who's considering buying a video game system for their kid?
I guess if they're worried about it, they should monitor them. Because I know it's a lot different now than what it was when y'all were little. Age appropriate, I guess, would be my advice.
Basically, take an interest in what your kids are actually doing.
Yep.
Be a good parent. Thanks a lot for letting me talk to you about this.
Oh, no problem.
So who wants to go next? I got the hard part out by going first, so you guys all got to hear my mom. And luckily, granted, it is a nice interview. I like talking with my mom, and I don't talk with her often enough. And I think that's probably true for all of us.
Yep.
Yeah.
The school you were talking about in Florida, was that Full Sail?
I don't think so. Actually, I think it was a place in Fort something or other.
Lauderdale?
Maybe so.
I don't know.
I think it was just an art school that I was thinking about. But it's been a long time, and I don't know why it would have crossed my mind in the first place.
I really enjoyed your mother's presence.
Yeah?
I mean, I wasn't actually in her presence, but I like listening to the interview. She had a really good vibe to her.
Yeah, she's usually very, very nice. I got really lucky with the draw of parents, I think.
Well, my mom was... I can't remember if she was the one who first gave me a game console, but I know her and my dad played games back in the 80s. My dad was really into pinball machines, and my mother would go to places like that and play with him. But my mom, she's not really into games. She's all about kids. She likes seeing kids learn and figure things out. She's a very sweet woman. She She definitely has a lot to say about the potential for kids to learn from pretty much anything in life, and she likes giving people experiences that they can learn from. So I talked to my mom pretty much about that, more specifically aimed at games, and kind of the games I became obsessed with, Pokemon being one of them. But yeah, let's check it out. Did you play video games?
Your father and I had always played pinball machines. I played video when Pac-Man came out. And that was in the early 80s. And your father and I had some friends that lived in Los Gatos, and they got an Atari, a refurbished Atari, because you couldn't even get the machine because there was such a wait list for them. So they got a refurbished one, and they got Pac-Man and I think Missile Command. It just seemed like it was just so popular, and everybody wanted it, and it was fun, and everybody was talking about it. It was something that like brought a lot of people together. People were getting together to play it, you know, play games and stuff, and so it was fun. You know, it was something to do with your friends, and I really enjoyed it. But then when the other games started coming out and that, I lost interest in it and started doing other things.
You remember when we threw that GameCube party?
Oh, yes. You guys would bring TVs. You'd have a big TV up on the dining room table, one in your room, one in the living room, and there were cords everywhere, taped down the carpet. And it just smelled like boys. And you guys would be up all night, and Gregory and Robert, whenever they would talk really loud, and I was always coming out. Come on, you guys. Be quiet. And then in the morning, waking up, and there were just everybody laying on the floor on their sleeping bags, and I would sneak into the kitchen and make cinnamon rolls or, you know, something for breakfast, and one by one, you know, you'd all wake up.
Do you remember giving us the day off from school because you saw that Zelda Majora's Mask game advertised in the Target paper?
Yes, I do remember this. And, you know, taking a day off from school is something that, you know, I tried to do with you guys because my mom did that for my brother and my sister and me. It was different for us. We got to stay home from school when Apollo would take off or come back, and when our dog would have puppies, and, you know, just real memorable things. And so I thought, you know, well, why not? Why not just give you a day to just really enjoy something that you guys just, you know, craved? And it always worked out well. You know, you got your fill of it, and then you went on.
Tell me about Pokemon.
Oh, Pokemon. Pokemon was very big. I remember a Charizard card, a golden Charizard card, was like $50.
Yeah.
This was one of your first experiences with consumerism, and we went on eBay, and you placed a bid, and then because you had some money to do this, and you kept getting outbidded, and you didn't understand why, and then the price just kept going up, you know, for the buy it now and everything, and I was trying to explain to you that it was supply and demand. You were upset because all of the grown-ups were buying everything and jacking the price up. And I was trying to explain to you that that's what grown-ups do. They're greedy. And they're getting kids' toys. You were beside yourself. You wanted to write somebody. There should have been a law against it. It was pretty good. And then you got a gold Charizard card.
I got two.
We got you one.
Yeah, we drove to a comic shop, and I spent, I think it was $50 on a Charizard card.
Yeah.
And then the guy who was running the comic shop at that time, he just shook his head when I bought the thing.
It's just a piece of cardboard, man. The other game that I really liked was Mario Paint.
Yeah.
And you guys had a lot of fun with that, and you're still having fun with it. A month ago, you guys were playing, using it, and it's just, it's comical that the things that you guys turn out with these things are just so funny. And they bring such joy to you. Your father got this one game called Earthbound, and it had, text that would appear on the screen, and you had to read it. There wasn't any voice there to tell you what it said. You had to actually read it. And your father would read it while he was playing it, and you would ask him, well, what does that say? And he would tell you, but not right off the bat. You know, we would try to work it out with you, similar to how you teach a child to read out of a book. I'm convinced that helped you and your brother in your reading skills and your early learning of reading.
I remember that.
I know that that and the computer too helped you and your brother learn to read. I was always amazed that here you guys learned keyboarding skills. When I was a girl, we had typing class, and it was always dreaded. Nobody liked to take typing class. And I'm just amazed when I look at you guys and how quickly you type, and you don't even look at the keyboard. And it's just like, oh my gosh, And now it's just part of everyday life for people, especially young people. They learn it because they want to be able to do that.
Yeah.
To get their information or whatever.
Yes.
And so they're intrinsically motivated to do it. So it's a familiar format. That's their world. And I see it being a part of the future in the workplace,
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to have moderation, just like you do with anything. It's amazing to even fathom what the future will be.
Yeah.
Just based on what's happened in your short lifespan of 25 years is amazing.
Yeah.
But I did enjoy Mario Paint and Earthbound. Those would have to be my two favorite games for children. And I'm sure there's a bunch out there now that I'm not even aware of. But as far as I would consider those two classics, and they can be used to to teach, and we made a lot of memories going to the going to Target at 7 in the morning, and taking days off from school.
Yeah.
And I know I've enjoyed watching you guys play. Especially when you were younger and seeing you, really wanting to figure it out. I think for the most part it's been beneficial to our family.
After talking to my mom, it made me realize we should do a whole episode on Pokemon.
Yeah.
Because she had a lot to say yet? About it.
We have before.
I had to cut a lot out of the interview I did with my mom. She had a lot to say about when I was into Pokemon. So all that you actually heard was very, very brief. Just a couple minutes of what was about 20 minutes of her talking about me getting wrapped up in the Pokemon phenomenon.
That's probably more relevant than all the stuff I cut out from my mom, which was a lot of talking about my little brother and his chickens. So, Heidi, mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about your mother.
My mom is a fifth grade school teacher. She's actually taught second grade and SLD, specific learning disabilities kids, throughout her whole teaching career. And she worries about everything. She's very overprotective. And I am still amazed that she decided to buy us a Nintendo console when I was in third grade. She didn't understand why we liked playing games so much. She just saw that we liked them, and she's like, she accepted it.
It's about as much as you can do. Eventually, I think that's something that everybody who becomes a parent is just going to have to live with. Yeah. Is they're going to see that their kids are into something that they just don't quite understand, and she's going to be like, well, it makes them happy. All right, and yeah. It's not destructive, apparently.
It's strange. Like, every generation has something like that, and you just have to accept it at a certain point.
In my experience, teachers often make very good parents, or at least really good teachers tend to make really good parents.
My mom likes to paint murals all over her classroom.
That sounds pretty cool to me.
Yeah.
So, let's see what she has to say.
So, to preface this, we should probably let everybody know that I grew up with a little brother, 4 years younger than me, and Mom, would you say that David, my brother, would you say that we got along?
Not all the time, no.
Probably most of the time we were fighting, right?
And you really got along when you played video games. That's about the only time, I must admit.
Right. I definitely remember that, and personally, that's one of the reasons I really like video games, is because we would stop fighting and we would work together, and that was really nice.
I agree.
Yeah. Okay, so what was it like to raise video game kids?
A new experience for me, because as a child, I did not have video games. I didn't know what they were, and I was very, very worried that it was going to do absolutely terrible things to you all, because that's what I heard from the media all the time, and I didn't want you two to grow up to be these absolutely horrible adults, and it would be all my fault because I let you off the video games.
So if you were so worried that video games were going to destroy our lives, what made you buy us our first video game console?
I don't know. I guess I decided to take a chance to see if it was true or not. I don't know. That's a good question. God, now I feel terrible, because what if it really turned out the other way and y'all were like these terrible adults?
Well,
now I feel terrible.
Don't feel terrible, because guess what? We're both pretty cool adults. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree now, but let me tell you, as a mom, it is very worrisome, because you hear these horrible things about what you're doing to your children, allowing them to play these games.
Like, do you remember any specific games that you were worried about? Like, any names of them?
No. I tried to stay away from all that stuff. No, ma'am, I have no idea.
Did you like anything about video games?
No. Oh, yes. No, that is not true. I kind of, sort of, well, there was, I don't know if you call this a video game, but it was something that was hooked up. I'm not sure how you know. I know you're going to die, because I don't know for sure whether this is a video game or not.
Okay.
But it's a thing that had like a mat on the floor. And
yeah.
You're supposed to look at the TV, and you were supposed to follow it. It was like a musical thing.
Yeah, Dance Dance Revolution.
Yeah, that thing.
Yeah, I still play that.
Oh. What was your question?
Did you like any video games? So you liked DDR, you liked Dance Dance Revolution.
I liked that one, but unfortunately, I never could do it. That's the only one I really ever tried, and I thought, you know, that's really cool, because it does teach you something.
Yeah.
But I thought the rest of them were for people who want juice more. But now I know very differently.
After you bought us our several game consoles, and we got into playing them pretty heavily, especially David, was there ever a time where you were concerned about our gaming habits?
Lord, yes. Let me tell you why.
Why?
Y'all would, I swear to God, want to play them for 24 hours. You would start after school on a Friday after school.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you all didn't really want to eat. Didn't want to associate with your friends. And you would come out bleary-eyed Monday morning and go to school. And I'm like, oh my God, now I'm going to have antisocial children. I didn't want that to happen. No. It just worried me to death.
You worried that video games are going to make us antisocial?
Yes. Absolutely, positively. I did not get and frankly still don't get how anybody can sit in front of some screen and do odd things. I just don't get that. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm just too old. I think that's just probably it.
That you're just too old?
I think I'm too old.
Do you remember a few years ago when I tried to get you to play Angry Birds?
Oh my God. I see those kind of shirts all over the place. I don't get that. I see shirts and lunchboxes and necklaces and I don't get that.
So, yeah.
And I wasn't good at it. Maybe if I was successful at a video game, I would like them. I think that's the whole problem.
If you could play them, then you would like them.
I think that's it.
Okay.
If I'm not good at it, why bother? So they need to do, y'all need to create a video game for old people who are successful, and then maybe we would play them. Y'all need to consider that.
Old people who are what?
Make sure it has...
Make a game for old people.
Yeah, and make sure it has very big font.
Okay, big font.
Very first requirement font.
Big font, easy instructions, and easy to play.
Instructions, you gotta be able to hear it.
Okay.
And it can't have too many complicated directions. Like, I remember once y'all had me play this unbelievable thing where I was supposed to go in some room, look for something, and then I would get into some other room.
Yeah, that was Portal, and I apologize for trying to make you play that. That was...
Oh my God! I had nightmares about that game.
Are you serious?
Yeah, because I thought I was going to be stuck forever in this room and never get out.
Well,
so it cannot be an old people game like that.
No, Portal is not an old people game. Okay.
I'm just telling you, don't do that.
No.
And the game, okay, here's the deal. This old people game.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be over in like 10 minutes.
Okay, big font.
24-hour game.
Big font. It's got to read all the instructions to you. They got to be easy, and it's got to be over in 10 minutes.
In 10 minutes.
10 minutes, all right.
It's got to be pretty, too, now.
It's got to be beautiful. Okay.
No evil things.
No evil things.
Is there a game called Resident Evil, maybe?
Yeah, we used to play Resident Evil a lot.
Okay, and I'm thinking to myself, Heidi.
Yeah.
I allow my children to play Resident Evil. Does that mean that there's something wrong with me as a parent?
Mom, no, it was a game about...
I didn't want people to know that my children were playing that game.
It's a game about zombies. No, see, we're the STARS police force, and we're fighting zombies. So we were the good guys.
What do you think the church ministers are going to think?
They think we're fighting evil.
Well, I didn't know that's what that game was about. Y'all never told me that.
You didn't ask.
And I think there was a game called Miami something.
Miami. Grand Theft Auto Miami Vice?
Yes.
I didn't play that. That must have been David.
Yeah, here's the whole thing. I think Grand Theft Auto has to do with stealing cars.
Yes, definitely.
Why
does.
Would anybody think it is okay for the child to have a game that steals cars?
I don't know. Like, I remember when I worked at Toys R Us, and little kids would come in trying to buy that game, and we'd have to get permission from their parents, and they're like, oh yeah, it's fine. And they're like elementary age kids, and I personally do not agree that little elementary age kids should be playing Grand Theft Auto. I agree with you there.
Good. I'm a good. But I think what happens, though, to tell you the truth, they probably don't name them anything. I mean, if you really were a video game manufacturer, you should not name them anything that a parent might object to. And then parents will buy them. You know, let's say, for instance, you make a game that says, high IQ game, or your kid's going to graduate from IQ game, or it's going to go to Stanford game or something.
Like Brain
Age. Parents are going to buy that.
Like,
yeah. Parents are going to buy that. But then when you get home, it's all about Miami Vice stuff, really.
Yeah. The kid won't play the Brain Age game. They're playing Miami Vice.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see a benefit in video games for us? Me and David
well,
and me.
Well, I did as you all got older because you all would reference to them a lot. Like, I learned that from video games. And a lot of it, believe it or not, was vocabulary and history. But I didn't know that at first. You guys were like zombies in front of these TVs. And you got to understand, as a parent, we worry about everything. We have nothing else to do but worry.
Yeah. Well, Mom, I think you worry too much, much more than other people in general, though.
I know. No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
I do my job very well. I worry.
Yeah.
But you can tell all your listeners they don't need to worry. I'll worry for them.
Yeah, you will.
I will.
Is there anything else that you would like to say about video games as a mother?
They need to be cheaper. My God, it's way too much money. For a parent, you have these children begging you to buy these $89 video games, $100 video games. And then you have children like David and Heidi who come 3 hours later and they have completed the game or solved the game.
Yeah.
Or chicken or whatever the game's about.
I remember that was when...
They need to be longer.
Yeah, they need to be longer.
I hate to say that.
They need to be cheaper and they need to be longer. I remember that, that you for Christmas or something, you bought David the new Prince of Persia game and he completed it. He beat it that day.
I was so tipped.
Yeah, I remember that.
You know, I don't think that's fair. But I also think maybe... I just wish they were all more educational, too. Mm. I, as a parent and as a teacher, I want my children to learn something. Some of those games are just flat stupid. Like Angry Birds, I'm sorry.
Slap stupid.
We all learn from that.
You learn that birds hate pigs. Though I do remember you bought us a lot of Magic School Bus games, and...
I like that. I like anything to do with art, creativity. Did I buy any Sims, or is that a computer game?
The Sims?
Yeah.
It's a video game, yeah.
Oh, I like the objective of that particular game. But, okay, I'll tell you something else which was interesting as a parent. As I watched the evolution of them, the graphics became so phenomenal.
Yes.
As compared to when they first started.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
So whoever makes those, I really have to applaud their creativity in that. That was amazing to me.
Yeah.
To see that. The evolution, I guess, of the video game.
Now, a game that... But I also really loved... Another educational game I loved was Museum Madness. And I still have, like, a very big fondness for that game. But my...
Can I know it again?
Museum Madness.
I never heard of it.
Mom! Oh, my God! We played it in your classroom! Remember...
Wait, what was it again?
Museum Madness.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That was really, really cool. Because it was creative.
Yeah, you had to go... Like, all of the museum displays were destroyed,
right.
And you had to go and fix them, and you learned history that way.
I did like that one. I remember now.
And now...
Okay.
What?
What's the difference between a video game and a computer game, then?
It's... Well, I guess just the way... Well, like, video games, I guess, typically, you would think that you play them on a home console on the television, and a computer game is a video game. You just play it on the computer.
I didn't even know that.
Now, I want to talk to you about the game that I love the most, still to this day, and that was Are You Afraid of the Dark? The Tale of Orfeo's Curse.
I didn't like that game.
But do you remember it?
Yes!
Do you remember how David and I used to sit around the computer, like, every day after school and try to beat this game for an entire year?
I just don't understand how you want to play scary stuff. I'm not, like, a Stephen King kind of person. I don't like that scary stuff. I still don't.
It was a lot of fun. Like, the puzzles were hard for... I was 12. David was, like, he was 8. So it was really fun working together on that game. We were scared running from the skeletons and stuff. And do you remember when we finally beat that game, like a year later, you took us to Staples and you asked the guy that worked there if there was like a sequel to that game. He was like, oh, no. He didn't know anything, but we liked that game that much that you went out looking for a sequel for us. Do you remember that?
Lord, no, I don't remember that, honey.
I remember that, and I really appreciate it. A sequel doesn't exist, but I really appreciate that you tried to find one for us.
Oh, wow, girl, I don't remember that story. I don't.
Okay, so is there anything else you wanted to say?
Do you still play video games? I need to know that.
All the time. I played them last night, yeah.
Okay, this is what concerns me. How much of a budget would you say the average adult, let's say in their mid-20s, spends on video games a month?
Well, things have changed now that where you can get like iPhone games, you can get some of them for free, you can get some of them for a dollar. And, like, games that come out now that are, like, $60, if you wait a few months, they will drop down drastically in price. So it really depends. Like, if you feel like waiting until you can get a better price, or if you just want to buy it day one. Myself, I spend very little money on video games these days. Like, we just bought Mass Effect 3 last week for $20, and that game came out, was it last year?
I guess it just concerns me that adults are becoming socially isolated by playing these games, maybe on the computer too, and I worry that they're not having face-to-face time with other adults and not learning social skills. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. I can see where that's coming from, definitely, but I don't play these types of games, but there are games where you can, get on and, like, on the voice chat and, like, fight against other people or with other people. You know, like, I guess Call of Duty, those type of games, which I do not play, so I don't really know how they work. So, there are games where
don't you remember when my phone bill was, like, $400 because your lovely brother got on some video game and was playing with somebody, like, in Italy or something?
No,
like.
I don't remember that. That must have been when I was in college or something.
Yes, your brother did that. And he didn't have any concept of why I was upset. Yes, he did. I think that should not be allowed to be done. You just click some button on the TV and you have, I don't know what game you play, but I know it required some kind of handheld device and something. And he didn't get it. He says, but Mom, I'm playing with these people and God knows where. And I'm like, who's going to pay this bill?
Right. So he was being pretty sneaky.
Well, all he does is push it at home. I'm like, how do I know until I get the bill that it had actually been done?
Right. I didn't know that happened.
I didn't know you could do something like that.
Yeah, that's pretty bad that some companies will allow that.
Mm-hmm. And of course, parents like me and probably parents all over the world, they have no idea that this can be done until they get the phone bill.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have no concept of, oh my God, this happened in front of videos. So, yeah, that's my only thing.
You definitely need to keep a very close eye on your kids these days with all of these ways where they can waste money. It's easier for kids to waste money these days.
Oh, do you mean with the video game?
Just video games or just, like, anything, like, free to play, and you can, like, pay money to buy, like, I don't know, some supplies on a Facebook game? Like, that's very bad. I don't like that.
See, the other thing I was kind of worried for you and David was, not only did you all want to buy the video game,
mm-hmm.
and then you wanted to buy the clothes that went with them, all the merchandise. They try to sell with them.
Right.
The poster things that go with them.
Yeah.
And don't you remember I even spent a whole summer painting video game characters on David's wall?
Right, yeah. I helped.
You know, and I was okay with that. Now, what I painted over his dresser, because I personally like it. David never did like it. What was that big old matte
Wolverine.
I thought it was the coolest thing ever, and he never liked it.
No.
David, if I'm going to paint all this stuff, I could choose a character. So I chose that big old guy, put it on there, and he kept putting posters over.
Yeah, I remember he stacked a bunch of Toys R Us display boxes mm-hmm. over it. I mean, it was really cool Wolverine, but he didn't like it.
No, he never liked that particular character, but he did, particularly that Laura Goff woman now.
Mm-hmm.
All of his little friends like that. not a fan, but her.
Yeah.
It turned out really well. So, I guess I really wasn't against video games if I would spend a whole summer painting the stuff on his wall.
Right. So, you would say that video games did benefit our lives. Like, video games actually got me my husband. It got me the job I'm working at now. If I didn't like games, none of this would have happened.
Well, I'll tell you, I worry as you were, I'm just talking about you, playing these games and going to buy these games and praying for these games and talking about these games. And I'm wondering how God's name is this going to benefit her as she grows up. Is this just a dream that is just a puff of smoke that's never going to materialize? And is she going to be at, have to work at McDonald's, flipping burgers and throwing up? Because what is, not that that's a terrible job for anybody to have, but I just couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I worried as a mom that you weren't developing skills that would get you a job later, and you could have spent your time more wisely developing skills.
I feel I was developing skills, but they weren't like...
But I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
All I did was worry. I go in the room and I see all this stuff. And I'm like, oh my gosh, where are the books? The only books you had were about video games.
No. I read books. I read Stephen King.
But see, those things scare me.
You were the one that bought me Goosebumps books in fifth grade.
Those scare me too.
Yeah.
That's the only reason.
I like scary stuff.
And see, I don't. I still just don't. I'm sorry. I'm scared. I'm scared of Lifetime movies. If you want to be scared, watch Lifetime movies. I swear they're really, really scary.
Yeah, Lifetime movies, they're pretty bad.
They're pretty bad.
Okay. Well, is there anything else you want to say, Mom? About David?
I want to say that I am listening to your podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing what I'm learning. Like, one of them was, had the term sandbox games.
Right.
But to me, I'm thinking, what could that mean? I mean, I actually listened to it three times, still don't really understand it. But I must not have very good comprehension skills.
It's just a new term.
But sandbox to me means as a very small child, beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where you begin, it's your first step in a long process of wherever you're eventually going to go.
That's a neat way of putting
it. Is that what sandbox games, or is that not what it means? Do I still not know what it means?
That's actually a really neat way of putting it. The way I describe sandbox games is a game that just lets you do whatever you want, like playing in a sandbox.
See, I still don't know what I'm talking about. Here, I listened to it, I swear, Heidi, three times. I even asked my fifth grade student, I said, do any of you know what sandbox games are, video games? And they're like, no. But I do like listening to to y'all's podcast because I'm learning new terminology like thrifting.
Yeah. Now
I'm the one that introduced you to thrifting, but I've never heard of the term, because to me we went to thrift stores, but I didn't know we were thrifting. I thought we went to thrift stores to purchase unusual items. I do like the podcast because it does take me to a world that I know nothing about, and I like learning new things. Although, obviously, like the sandbox games, I might have to listen to that podcast about five more times because I still don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, I'm really...
I do appreciate the fact that you all are putting it all together.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun, and I'm really glad you listen.
I do. I'm probably the oldest person in the world who listens to them, but I'm trying. I'm really trying.
Well, we all appreciate it, I'm sure. I especially do.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Well, thank you, Ms. Yoma, for talking with us and adding to our podcast. I think it's always interesting to hear moms talk, especially with their children, because there's such an interesting... Shut up, phone.
There's so much context.
Yeah, like, every kid seems to interact with their parents in a completely different way than they act to anybody else, whether it's a stranger or a friend or siblings, and it's interesting to hear that dynamic, I think.
Is it possible that Miss Yoma is listening to this in her classroom right now?
Possible. She has talked to her fifth grade students about our previous podcast topics.
Yeah.
What?
She asked them if they knew what a sandbox game was, and all of them just looked super confused.
That's a tragedy. Well, she's really excited to be famous, right?
Yeah, she's going to be on the podcast now, and she's going to be famous, and she's super excited.
She's going to be our correspondent.
Well, so that's probably all we have to say about mothers, right? I mean, that's it. Just give them a call. Let them know that you're okay, and maybe talk about video games for a little bit.
You know, honestly, I'd love to see a podcast called Mothers in Games, and it just be people sending conversations with their mothers about games in And that's all it is.
That does sound pretty incredible to me.
It's kind of like that show we heard about on This American Life with the radio host who accepted calls for inmates. Yeah, because these people in prison, they would listen to the radio, and then people could send pretty much open letters to them.
Yeah.
On the air. And I guess this isn't the draw parallel between prison and games, but the idea of just kind of hearing these earnest conversations with family.
Yeah, that does sound pretty awesome. I think I'd like to do something like this again next year, but maybe have less of us talking with our moms, and maybe getting a lot of other listeners who can just give them a call and have even a brief discussion with them, just to kind of give us an idea of how they interact and what their parents think about it. About
the Fang Gamer podcast, getting people to call their mom.
Yes, I think in the end, that's all we can really hope for with this podcast. I think that would be better and more useful than anything we've done in the past.
Yeah, I would say so. This is getting pretty personal.
Yeah,
and I think in a very sweet way. I think we got one voicemail.
It's true, we do. I believe it is from Mr. Faison Chaos.
Hey there, Fang Gamer podcast crew. Faison Chaos here. Well, my mom declined an actual interview to be recorded with her about what it was like raising a video game child. She did sort of half jokingly, half serious say that the games did a lot of the raising themselves. And I can't deny that. In addition, I do plan to go thrifting for games sometime soon, so hopefully I will have a voicemail for you guys on that subject matter within the next week or two. As always, thanks for taking my voicemail, and keep up the great work with the podcast.
Good for you, man.
What you should do is you should go thrifting for games with your mom.
I've done that. My mother taught me how to
thrift. Yeah, exactly. She was... it just happens to be an activity that your mom is going to enjoy, because, you know, thrifting. You're going out there and you're finding deals, and that's really a good experience for anybody. And you don't necessarily... Because the nature of thrifting, you can find anything that could be of interest to anybody. So, and part of what you might happen to find is video games. So that's automatically interesting to you. And so, yeah, it's a nice family activity.
Mm. Yeah, I would go to the flea market with my mom pretty frequently. I mean, I picked up a lot of cool things, not even just video games, just going out with my mom in general and hanging out. It was a good bonding time. And, hey, you get to spend little amount of money for a lot of turnover or whatever you want to call it.
I like the concept of, like, video games, like, raising children on their own.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's something you hear from time to time, and I think I might be, like, an instance of that happening, mostly because, like, I look back to a lot of the games I played or, like, shows I watched, and, like, I took a lot from them, and I find a lot of sentimental value in, like, a lot of themes that I find in media I consume.
Yeah. So what you're saying is your mom is a video game.
Yeah.
No, but actually, that's an interesting concept, but also a little scary.
Yeah, it is. I mean, maybe I lucked out because I have such good taste. But
I mean, if you're raised by good video games or good television programs or stuff like that, then it can turn out pretty good, which is sort of a reason to focus on quality programming, whether it's video games or anything, is because people are going... Children are going to be potentially raised by this stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's not something that you should always keep in mind.
Maybe we should also try to avoid that. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Like, maybe take more of a part in your children's video game playing.
My dad, he's really looking forward to being on our Father's Day episode. And he often talks about how some of his best memories were playing games with us. And, I mean... I don't think that there's anything wrong with, you know, kids playing games for a long period of time. And I think, just like thrifting, you know, or anything like that, it's potential for a bonding experience and to team up on something. But in terms of being raised by games, I remember, I think Marty Elmer Omnitarian posted about something in our forums talking about what do parents think about games raising their kids. And I look back on all the weird, bad games or, you know, dumb TV shows I watched, like the Pokemon show. And, you know, looking back, they're all pretty much... it's just kids programming. You know, it doesn't really mean very much. I think there's a place for that, though, because maybe it's just me, but I consumed a lot of that stuff growing up, and now that I'm a bit older, I look back on it, and I feel like I learned a lot about myself from it, in the sense that I know what I like now, and it's not that. It kind of raised my awareness of what's out there. That's probably not the same for everybody, but I can see a benefit to consuming crap media, too, I guess. That's what I'm saying.
It's like flipping a coin, though.
Yeah.
You gotta be born with that magic ticket called taste.
You gotta have that taste to make it yummy to eat.
All right, Jeff.
Well, that's it. That's the Fangamer Podcast, everybody. Well, what else do we have to note? Do we have any Fangamer news?
Can we talk about Double Fine and how we're shipping out their stuff?
It's official now. We're shipping out Double Fine stuff, and soon enough, the actual Double Fine Action Shop is going to show at the bottom that if you have any customer service questions, contact orders@fangamer.com. Or at least I think we're going to be able to take care of that pretty soon.
So, we are shipping out Double Fine stuff.
Yeah.
And
thank gosh.
Can we talk about some of the products I've seen in the packing room?
Like what?
There's a yo-yo that lights up.
Really? It's like a Double Fine yo-yo?
Yeah.
Okay, I knew they had one. I didn't know we had them here already.
I was playing with it this morning, and...
Is it any good?
It's so much
good
better yo-yo? Than ours.
It's probably good, but I'm not good at yo-yoing, so I can't okay. tell you.
I have to go try it.
Of course it's good. It lights up. What else do you need to do with the yo-yo? Who cares about tricks? Nobody.
Minimum bar. It's already been set.
Besides that, we're going to be doing a game club next week.
Yep. We got to be playing some pod racing. And
Shadows of the Empire.
Shadows of the Empire. Go first-person shooter your way through the Star Wars universe. Go kill Darth Vader with a gun.
Is that really how that game ends?
I don't think so. I don't think you ever actually see Darth Vader.
Yeah.
He's not really concerned with you.
It's kind of pre-first-person shooter. Because there's multiple angles.
What do you mean?
In Shadows?
Yeah.
You can switch the camera so you can be third-person or first-person.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Well, that's pretty common in a lot of... or several first-person things around, but yeah.
Maybe not so early on, though.
Yeah, it's true.
Actually, if I recall, the first-person perspective is pretty difficult.
Really? That was my preferred.
Really?
But I guess we'll get into that further whenever we actually start talking about it.
Yeah. And then after Game Club next week, we're going to have a special episode, I think, all done by Charlie.
Yeah, well, kind of. Everybody in the office is going to be involved. In some way. Good. But we'll show you what that means later on.
It'll
stay
be
tuned.
Super surprise.
I have a tip for anyone playing pod racing for the first time is go online and look up the controls. Don't play it like Mario Kart 64.
No. There are some important controls that you need to know, like the fact that pressing up is actually going to increase your speed. And eventually, if you're on a straightaway long enough, you can actually activate a boost drive.
Yeah, and that button when that light flashes.
Yeah, you'll be able to boost it for about half a millisecond, and then you're going to have to turn, and then you're going to be going too fast, and you're going to slam into the wall and die.
Yeah.
So don't use this boost button, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's not very useful.
Best part
also,
of the pod racing game.
Also, there are some sick cheat codes that are like a million miles long.
Mm-hmm.
So have fun putting those in.
If you play the game, play as Anakin, because if you crash, he'll go... No!
As opposed to, okay, dude,
right.
Which is, I can assume, not real words.
And actually, if you win as Anakin, he goes, yeah, I won!
And no kidding, kid.
Yeah, and you can crash through the finish line and explode, and he'll still say it. And that's just a great visual.
And if you kill Anakin at this point, then you save so many Jedi lives.
You save a lot of people money from going to see the prequels.
I guess so.
That's what that game's all about.
Yeah.
if you lose even once, the entire Star Wars franchise is wiped from existence. The weight of the world of so many nerds in this world are on your shoulders.
And you know what?
It's
I mean, sounds like it might be okay because, you know, prequels and all that, right? But no, remember, the prequels came before the original ones. So if you wipe out the prequels, you also wipe out the original trilogy, and that's not okay.
But that means it's wiped out of existence, and the game would never exist.
Right, so this is when we're dealing with time paradoxes.
And then next week we're just going to do a podcast about...
time paradoxes. I don't know.
Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Remember that video game? Wobbly, timey-wimey Star Wars episode.
Don't get me started on Doctor Who video games right now.
They exist?
They exist and they're all bad.
I imagine so. Especially, I mean, if they could get... I bet you it'd make a really cool point-and-click adventure game.
Yeah, that would be great.
But nobody's going to think to do that.
Not running sideways and shooting at Cybermen and getting caught by prison guards. Because I can't sneak and they don't do sneaking right and River Song is terrible in that game. I bought it because it was motion capture, and it was their voices and the same actors, and I was like, oh yeah, this looks good. I'm gonna give them money. Oh, I want my money back. I can't. It's PSN. I don't know what to do with it now.
It's digital, so you're stuck with it.
Yeah, I am.
It's 2013, 2014. What are you gonna do?
Well, happy Mother's Day.
Call your moms. Mom. And this is the Fan Gamer Podcast.
Nobody?
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
God.
Sorry, you weren't doing it very good.
Yeah.
If I can recognize it, sorry.
Wait, I still don't know what you were doing.
I was singing the Dinosaurs animated series theme song.
Oh. Why?
That was Doctor Who. It was Jeff's version of Doctor Who. Uh-oh. Somebody give us a better ending. Let's get out of here.
Bye!
I believe the morning sun always gonna shine again, and I believe a pot of gold waits at every rainbow's end, and I believe in roses kissed with dew. Why shouldn't I believe the same in you? I believe in make-believe fairy tales and lucky charms, and I believe in promises spoken as you cross your heart, and I believe in skies forever blue. Why shouldn't I believe the same?
So Heidi.
Mm-hmm. Hey, what's going on, man?
Oh, hey, get out of here, Reed.
The heck was that?
That was mumble.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Let's get the new local mute. There we go. All right.
Just hit the head.